Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to follow up from the Father's Day message and just talk about God's role as our Father throughout this week. Okay, and so today I want to talk about the Father's role of disciplining His children. And in Hebrews 12, read from verse 4, it says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Amen. Well, I mean, I think this passage is pretty self-explanatory, right, about what it talks about in the area of discipline for us as children of God. The verse 5, it actually comes a combination of Job 5, 17, and Proverbs 3:11. Let me just read 3:11 and 12. "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights." And so, you know, Solomon is telling us that if a father loves their child, then the father will discipline the child. You know, that actually is a huge problem in the world right now, because there are not many fathers operating within families, especially this would be a huge statistic in the United States. You know, and because most of the fathers are absentee, their children are not being disciplined. Because children are not being disciplined, you know, they're, you know, committing all kinds of offenses. They're not being guided in any way, and so they're making very poor decisions as adolescents. And we kind of see this happening in our world today. And so, you know, the writer of Hebrews, what he's trying to convey, and remember, you have to think of yourself as a listener to this message, right? Now, I know there have been some people that have said, well, back in the days, discipline, you know, or that whole aspect was viewed upon as very positively. No, it wasn't. You know, I mean, he says it very clearly right here himself. He says, you know, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. So even back then, they had the picture as well of discipline being something that's not necessarily, you know, great, you know. It's not, you know, because we think like that sometimes. We think, well, yeah, you know, our parents back in the days, when they looked at discipline, you know, they looked at it with a different view than we did. No, they look at it in the same way. You know, and for most of us, when we look at discipline, or, you know, we have that subject broached to us, most of it is quite negative. You know, it's not something that we look forward to in our lives. You know, but you have to understand this as sons, right? Now, if your father disciplines you, I'm talking about your earthly father, it means that he loves you. You know, I mean, I should say this way. If your heavenly father is disciplining you, you can guarantee 100% that God loves you, right? If it's your earthly father that's disciplining you, probably 50-50 chance, you know. Like, you know, a big thing in our family with my wife and I, right, that if our kids are going crazy in public, you know, I don't care. I mean, personally for me, right, I'm like, okay, big deal, right, and stuff. And, you know, they start screaming in the shopping center, I'm cool. You know, it's like, well, these are my kids, you know. Even if people give me dirty looks, hey, that's your problem, you know, kind of thing. But Lisa's not like that. And so she'll go overboard in disciplining them in a public setting. But for me, I'm a little more relaxed in that way. You know, I don't know why. There must be something, you know, at work here. You know, but it's the aspect of sometimes parents will discipline us because it looks bad upon them. you know, or it brings them shame or whatnot. But you can be rest assured that when God disciplines us, it's never along that line. God is not embarrassed by our activities. He's not, you know, he's not ridiculed by anyone. No, it's none of those things. When God disciplines us, it is a sign that he loves us, right? It is a clear-cut sign, right, that there is something, and the word that the writer in Proverbs uses, the word that the son in whom he delights in, right? He delights in, right? That when you know, he sees his son and there's something pleasing about the son, the Lord moves into a disciplinary role. Let me suggest this to you as well. When God disciplines us, right, is also a part where his presence comes to meet with us. See, this is so contrary to what a lot of us think these days. We feel like if God is disciplining us, you know, then immediately we feel like God's presence is away from us. You know, we go through difficult financial dealings or, you know, relational stuff or, you know, these things. And a lot of these things are in a way disciplining us. How do I know that? Well, if you read this text, it, you know, the context of this is actually what he talks about in verse 3. Let's read this. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Right? And so what the writer of Hebrews, he's connecting Jesus' suffering by the hands of sinners, and he's connecting that to God's discipline over him. Right? Because he's basically telling us, look, because he doesn't want you to grow weary, because he endured, you can endure. You can endure because God loves us, because he's disciplining us. Remember, when you read the scriptures, you have to read things in context. Right? What does he say before and what does he say after? Right? And then you can get the real meaning of what the author is trying to say. And so what he's trying to say is that at the hands of these sinners, God was displaying his discipline. Right? Isn't that so different than that many of us, that a lot of times when we're going through discipline, what's the first thing that we say? God, where are you? Right? You know, could it be that actually the fullness, the fullness of God's presence is manifest in that discipline, in the fact that because God loves you so much, he's doing something in our lives. See, if God didn't discipline us, right, as a father, it just means he doesn't love us. Isn't that true? Have you guys ever seen, this is, you know, not such a good movie that you should watch, but I actually really liked it a lot. You know, have you ever seen that movie, Friend? You know, the Korean movie, in the Korean, Chingu. Right, it's a major gangster movie, right? Back in the days, it's like the first gangster movie that really made it big in the States. Well, this movie, if you remember the end of this movie, there's these two characters, and they grew up together, and then one ends up going to jail actually for something he didn't even do. You know, and so he's in prison, and you know, there's this group of four friends, and two of them are okay, two of them became gangsters, right? And so the one friend actually died. And he's taking the rap for one of his best friends dying. It's a huge story. You guys seen it, right? If you're Korean, you saw this movie, right? If you're not Korean, then you should go watch this movie, right? You'll learn a lot about Koreans through watching this and stuff. And so that we're very violent. And so the movie, and if you remember the end where he's in prison, he says something, and to me, I thought it was so profound. And the guy that was in jail, he was basically cursing out all of his brothers or his seniors, you know, and the whole point of him really cursing them out was basically, he said, they never told me that this was wrong. In other words, he's basically saying, these guys, they never, you know, they never disciplined me. They never shared with me, you know, that I'm not supposed to act this way or do these kind of things. And he's like, he's so angry. And he's in this prison basically saying, my life is all messed up because these brothers, you know, especially in a gangster kind of culture, these brothers who are supposed to watch out for my best interests, they never told me that this is wrong. And so this is what I have. Right? And that's, I mean, that's, he's basically, it's a kind of a cultural commentary on Hebrews chapter 12. You know, a father only disciplines the sons that he loves, right? If you don't love your sons, you don't discipline your sons. This is the societal mess that we're living in right now because our fathers are unwilling to speak out on behalf of the sons. We're so unwilling, many of us, to discipline our kids because of our issues that we have. Oh, we want our kids to be our friends. Or the fathers are not even there at all, right? Absenteeism is huge in the world today in relation to fathers. You know, I could very well, looking at a room like this, you know, there's not that many of us here, I'd say probably about 40% of you are dealing with some social issue because of absentee fathers, you know, or absentee parents in general. You know, and so when God disciplines us, He loves us, right? Have a different lens from now on. When we talk about the presence of God is not just there to, you know, to give us the chills and, you know, and we feel good about these things. Let me suggest to you, the presence of God in many ways is manifest in the discipline of the Lord. When God is disciplining His children because He loves them, because they delight in Him, the fullness of God's presence is there. It would be foolish for us to say, God, where are you in the midst of this? And I know it's not easy or, you know, or these things, but see, there is an end result. There's something, an outcome that God wants to have. You know, one of these things, you know, I'm very thankful that my parents signed me up for team sports when I was growing up. You know, I have a personal thesis. I believe that athletes that played in team sports make better Christians. That's just my own thing. I just, because there's so many things in team sports that are already wrapped up into the Christian culture. You know, the idea of suffering, the idea of working hard when no one else is watching, you know, the idea of teamwork, you know, idea of communicating, you know, as a team and, you know, and a vision together for a goal, all these things, you know, I believe it makes us better Christians. And there's actually, I found out lately, or a few years ago, there was a guy that actually wrote a book, you know, his whole PhD thesis was that same thought, that people that play team sports can very easily integrate into the church, into Christianity very easily, and actually do quite well. You know, and it's just because we learned already, you know, when I was little and I was in team sports and, you know, our coaches would just, I mean, make us run like crazy and puke and do all these kind of things because we know that it was for a goal in mind. That we're suffering all this thing in preseason, right? Before the season starts, we're suffering and we had to work even harder so we can reach our goal. That's just like Christianity. You know, think about the sufferings or things or the training that we're going through right now. It's for a goal. You know, that there's something that God wants to accomplish through the discipline. There's a goal that's there, and He wants us to get to that place. Right? A good coach knows, and he wants the team members to reach the goal. The Father is the same exact way. And so, and if we're enduring discipline right now in this season of our life, we can rest assured it's because there's some goal that He has in mind for us. You know, and when you begin to live your life in such a way, right, you know, as Paul says, I struggle for the goal that's set before me. You know, I press on toward the goal. You know, he knows what he wants. You know what I mean? I mean, we're, you know, many of us are really enthralled with the World Cup these days, right? You know, and we're consumed by the World Cup. Could you believe it? I just read this article the other day that said that during the World Cup, right, the world markets, you know, the world employment, all this stuff will experience something like a couple billion or, you know, dollars of inactivity. In other words, because people are at the office watching the World Cup through streaming and whatnot, productivity, you know, and apparently what country was it? Italy, right? Brazil, and I forgot some other country. They're going to experience over $1 billion, you know, or have already during this time, you know, of inactivity, of lost production, basically. Argentina's like 485 million. You know, I was surprised South Korea's not on that list. I thought they would be number one on the list for sure, right? You know, people cutting off work and all these things. But, I mean, all this inactivity, you know, through this World Cup, and we're so enthralled by this, you know, these things. And you have to think of these athletes. They work so hard to get to this place right now, you know, on this world stage. In that same way, there's a discipline, right, that happens in the life of the church, in the life of the believer, right, that God is preparing us for something. A.W. Tozer, I remember this, it hit me so hard when I was reading one of his books. I believe it was The Pursuit of God. And Tozer, you know, he says that God will not use anyone greatly until he wounds them deeply. I hate quotes like that because they're so true, right? He says God does not, you know, use anyone greatly until he wounds him deeply. You know, there's a disciplining happening that brings us to the goal of really of God using us greatly, about his son being glorified, about people coming into the kingdom, about nations bowing down before the Lord. And it's not going to happen until discipline really takes a hold. See, if you have a mindset, right, if you want to grow, you're not offended by discipline. Isn't that true? If you just want to grow, you're not offended. In fact, you welcome discipline in our life, in your life. You know, I remember, there are seasons in my life where I was so hungry to grow. I mean, just so hungry to grow and to mature in Christ. It didn't matter where it came from. I mean, I was looking for people to rebuke me. You know what I mean? But there are other seasons in my life, you know, where I'm not quite keen on growing, where I kind of like status quo, you know, and you know, I feel like I've reached some place and I'm, you know, basically moving in pride, and I get offended by the littlest word that someone will say to me, you know, and stuff. And it goes back to that heart, man. You want to grow, you want to mature, you welcome discipline into your life. I mean, you look for it, you know, in many ways. Right? I mean, you're sitting with people and says, hey, you know, do you see anything in my life, you know, that maybe is not, you know, really happening? You know, I mean, you're really going after this. But when we're content, you know, and where we're at, right? Because when that happens, you're never going to grow, right? Because you're just there, status quo. Then you're going to get offended when people discipline you or speak into your life. But a father loves those that he disciplines. If you are under the discipline of the Lord right now, don't ask God, where are you? Because God is right in the middle of it. You know, you should ask God, help me see me through this season. You know, that I may get to that point. You know, because basically what happens, right, if you're in a season of discipline and you don't graduate, that means you flunk. That means you have to go through it all over again. You should read a Bobby Clinton, The Making of a Leader. He says it very beautifully. Right, that there's tests that come into our life, you know, these moments, and when we don't pass these tests, we will not advance until we pass this test, and so it'll come back over and over again. You know, think about this: do you find yourself going through the same issues over and over and over again? Do you find that maybe in relationships, right, they end because of the same reason over and over and over again? Do you find in your workplace, right, that you quit or you're dissatisfied with your job over the same reason over and over and over again? You know, ding, 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 ding. Maybe you're not passing, right, this test of discipline in our life. And so you're having to repeat this thing over and over and over again. Right? Because he who's faithful in little thing will be entrusted with much. God is not entrusting you with much because you've not been faithful with this little thing. Right? This little thing, a lot of times, is this issue of discipline. All right? So let's close our eyes. I know it's very natural for us to look at discipline negatively. But I want to encourage you, huh? There's a goal that God has in mind. Does God cause all these things to happen? That's a whole nother discussion for another time. I don't know. But I know that God uses whatever happens, and he redeems whatever happens. And so if you're here today or in our listening audience and you're going through some form of discipline in your life right now, maybe the Lord is on you in the area of relationships or sexuality or the way that we speak. Or maybe there's a relational thing. or maybe our workplace, but you feel testing right now, don't say, God, where are you? Say, Lord, give me the strength to overcome. As Shisan leads us in a song, let me encourage you to go before the Lord and just begin to talk to Him about maybe some areas in your life that the Lord is touching right now. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church, our community. Let's pray that there will be a paradigm shift in our minds in terms of the way that we look at discipline. Right? That we would associate God's love with His discipline. When right now we associate his anger, or we tend to associate his indifference or his absence with discipline. But let's begin to associate, right, discipline with God's love. Let's pray for our lives. Let's pray for our community, our church, right, that truly there will be a paradigm shift that occurs. Because, you know, my feeling is that when we begin to associate that with love, we will embrace that discipline instead of shun it. And thus have that discipline last a short season instead of longer. All right, so let's just pray over that as a church right now. No, obviously, we don't want people to be suffering, and neither does the Lord. And so let's lift up people within our community, maybe ourselves, that are in a season of discipline. And let's pray that we would learn quickly. All right, let's pray that this season would be short. That whatever lessons, whatever, you know, outcome that the Lord desires in the midst of what's going on, that we would learn quickly. That we would grab a hold of it, we grasp whatever God is doing, and we go towards the goal. And so if you know people that are under duress or difficulty, you know, now some of it may be the Lord's dealings, and some of it may be the enemy's work, right? And so we need a spirit of discernment to recognize. And if it's the enemy's work, let's rebuke it, right? Let's pray for God's deliverance. If it's the Lord's dealings, let's pray that we would grasp and grab a hold of that discipline in our lives. Let's just cover our community, our people especially that are in these situations right now. Let's pray. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting today. And let's ask God's hand to be upon them and just the grace and the favor of the Lord would just flow through their meetings and their discussions and their work, and especially as the outreach is coming this Saturday, I pray for all the house churches that they would really prepare well and be excited about serving their community. All right, just lift them up. Let's pray for our church and our building fund and our move and our proposal and all these things that are laid out. Pray for the Lord to provide a space for us very soon. If you're not here at the 2 o'clock service on Sunday, we literally had standing room only. Right? We had like 8 people standing in the back because there's just no seats at all. And so let's pray that God would do something. You know, we're going to start our third service probably at the end of August. And so let's pray for that as well. Let's pray that God would just really give the worship team and everyone else just extra strength to go through 3 services on Sunday. Let's just lift up this whole thing to the God. Let's lift up ministries here in Hong Kong and ask God to have His hand upon them. And let's pray for Youth with a Mission and Masters Beauty and Fabi and Shanti Ministries with Godwin. Let's pray for Sports Services International, Sports Ministry. Let's lift up Zhengsheng College and all the kids in the rehab school. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon all the ministries in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for Feibei Ministry and the Korean church, and ask the Lord to continue to bless them and really draw His presence even closer to them and all the issues and things that are going on, that God would bring healing word. Let's just pray for just the ministries here in Hong Kong that we support and that we pray for regularly, and ask that the Lord would just bless our missionaries and the people that are doing their work, and God would just really just show incredible favor over them. Let's also pray for face-to-face with Pastor Jimmy and for Feed the Hungry and with Armando. Let's just really pray that God would just take him to the next level in whatever he's doing in their lives. Let's lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as sons and daughters, God, help us not to regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or shun it, God, but help us to embrace, Lord, and really come into an understanding, God, that you only discipline those that you love. And Lord, and because you love us so much, God, that there'll be times in our life, Lord, where, God, we will be disciplined, Father God, where we'll go under some training and some hardship, Lord. And in those times, God, help us to embrace it, God, and learn quickly from it, Lord, that we may, Lord, press on toward the goal, God, of knowing you. Thank you, Father. Watch over us. Watch over our friends ministering all through Hong Kong today. Lord, draw each of us to you, God, and everything we do as a church, Lord, I pray, God, that Jesus Christ, that you would receive all the glory in. We thank you, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. We'll see you tomorrow morning.